go back to China again after the time he brought the whole family back when you were only 5 years old?
No, he didn't.
And do you still have relatives back there that you correspond with?
No.
Do they ever write to you for anything?
No, we haven't. Excepting the time that I made a visit over there.
How long ago was that?
I made a visit over there in 66 and 73, just for a couple months.
Did you go back to the village, Mrs.
No,
he?
I didn't get a chance to go back to the village.
Now, then, let's go back to your childhood life. Did you people speak Chinese at home when you were small?
Yes, we did. Mother and Dad wanted us to learn Chinese, learn the Chinese customs, Chinese culture, and definitely speak Chinese, because Mother and Dad felt that once we were out of the home, we would be speaking English to all our school friends and Caucasian friends. So the only way for us to practice would be at home.
Where did you learn your Chinese, Mrs. He? Did you go to Chinese school?
Now and then I would get down to Chinatown where Mother taught school, but that was very seldom, because we lived down there at 10th Street. And I went to a 9th Street school in Lafayette Junior High School. And by the time I got to a school, I'd gone home. So I didn't take the streetcar to take time to get down to Chinatown. And Mother would teach me after she returned home, and after dinner time, then we would have about an hour.
How about the other children? Did they learn some Chinese too from your mother?
That is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Gilbert and Elmer. Ed had better knowledge of Chinese than the three younger ones, because, as I said, he had studied those few months when he was in Macau.
Mm-hmm.
And then, being older, I guess he spoke more with my mother and father with the business, and he had more contacts with the Chinatown people than the younger ones.
Now, after you graduated from Lafayette, where did you go for high school?
I went on to Polytechnic High.
And did you graduate from there?
Yes, I graduated from Poly, and then from there I went to the University of Southern California, and I finished there.
What did you major in, Mrs. He?
Sociology.
And did you work along that line after you graduated from college?
Yes, I did. I worked with the International Institute at Los Angeles, and I was a nationality worker, that was the title, but it was more or less casework, that is, in the casework department.
How long did you work in that capacity?
I worked there
approximately
about 8 years. It was quite an experience for me, and I'm very happy to say that I worked there because I liked the work. It didn't seem like work to me. And I did case work with the Chinese community, and not only the Chinese community, because the International Institute, we handled cases for, that is, any case that had a foreign element, we would take on, excepting Jewish cases, which went to the council, Jewish council. So we didn't have to handle their cases.
But since you can speak Chinese, it's only logical do you handle
that
most
helped.
Of the Chinese cases.
That's right. That
right?
Helped.
Then, why did you quit the job, Mrs. He?
Well, I was in poor health, so I didn't work for a while. And then Later on, we had our, as I said, we still had our business. I felt that, father had passed on. My oldest brother carried on the business. And I, the mother, who used to be down at the restaurant, although we had employees down there, but still, we felt that there's nothing like having some of the members of the family there, because so many of our customers turned out to be friends after a time. And so later on, I did put in time at the restaurant.
Are you married?
Yes, I am. I have
a daughter. When did you get married?
I married way back in the 50s. And my husband is Cyrus He. I have a daughter, Elizabeth He. And my husband was, he was with the Bethlehem Steel.
Wait a minute. Now, you said you were married, and do you have a family, children?
I have a daughter.
You have, huh? All right. How many children do you have, Mrs. He?
I have one daughter.
Mm-hmm. And about how old is she now?
She is now 22 years old, Elizabeth He.
And, does your daughter live at home with you?
Yes, she does. Elizabeth lives at home. And she's working now. She's with the Huntington Memorial Hospital. She works in the dispensary department. She's very happy in her work there.
So you live with your husband and your daughter and my mother-in-law. And your mother-in-law.
Yes, my mother-in-law is 91 years old.
How long have you living with the mother-in-law?
1964 to date.
So how do you find living with a mother-in-law, Mrs. He, if you don't mind? See, in this country, we heard so much about what a problem living with their mother-in-law. I'm a mother-in-law myself, see? How do you feel?
Well, of course, when, as I said, my mother's of the old school, my father's of the old school, which I'm very thankful for, because that, from them, you might say I'm partly of the old school too. And I'm very fortunate to have a mother-in-law who has been wonderful to me. It's just this last year or so it's been rather difficult because she is senile and paranoid. She's fallen quite a few times. She's injured her head. And as the doctor says, the brain cells are deteriorating, so she is paranoid. But that I overlooked because I just think back of all the good times and how good she's been to me. So now she's living with, she has been living with us. It is a little more difficult now.
Well, how many years have you been living together, approximately?
1964. About 16, 17 years. It doesn't seem that long.
No.
Well, it does sometimes, but then I guess like all families, now that you're asking me, I just started to figure. I didn't realize it's 16, 17 years old. But she does require full-time care now, and that, as I said, has been a little more difficult because she requires 24-hour care. We never leave her alone. I dare say that in all the years that she's lived with us, only once have I had someone come in to be with her while we went out. All the other times, we always manage, either my husband stays in or I stay in. The last few years, my daughter Elizabeth would take, she would also assume responsibility in staying with grandma. But at this point now, I don't, it's just my husband and I, because she is paranoid. Mm-hmm. And at times you one can't tell, she might even be violent. But I would never think of sending her to a, I have, people have said to me, why don't you place her?
Why don't you want to send her to a convalescent home, Mrs.
Well,
Lee?
Well, I know that if I, no, convalescent home, yes, perhaps, but I know they won't keep it.
I see.
Because my mother-in-law, so often in the middle of the night or even during the day, she'll just start in and she'll just go on. When I say go on, I mean in a loud voice. She might be calling somebody out, or she'll just talk randomly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in a very loud voice in the middle of the night, and that can go on for an hour or two. Mm-hmm. So if we were to send her to a home, they wouldn't keep her. I know what it would be. They would say, well, take her back and have her under observation, place her at Norwalk or something like that. But
how long do you suppose such conditions will continue? Or can you predict anything like that? Can the doctor predict?
She's very, we say she's a toughie. Because my mother-in-law, she fell about a year and a half ago, broke her femur bone, had surgery, and with the steel pin in there. But now she walks back and forth from this room after a good one, back and forth. Now, if she had a meter on her, I'd say she walked, I don't know, at least 50 or 60 times back and forth a day.
So in
which
other
is
words,
good for her, this
yes,
walking.
She's still in very good health as far as that's concerned.
Well, the doctors, so we thought we were going to lost her twice within the last 3-4 years, but she snapped out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now she is just really more mental than now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope they'll come up with something to help her out pretty soon. They have new medicines, new discoveries, you know, every day.
Yes.
So, all right. Now, then, right now, whenever you people are not well or sick, do you go for Chinese medicine or American medicine?
No. I don't know why I'm saying no.
Do you?
I'd say American medicine.
More American medicine instead
American
of Chinese
medicine.
Herb?
Yes, definitely. Uh-huh.
Do you ever eat anything cooked with Chinese herbs like?
Oh, yes.
You still do?
Yes, now and then I
put
some Chinese.
For instance,
herbs.
What are they?
Oh, like chicken, you know, like chicken and then the
jiao.
And a couple of years ago we had we call that ginseng. But I haven't for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. But we did have that.
Does your mother-in-law now take Chinese herbs or American medicine?
She takes American medicine when needed, but I'm very glad to say we don't give her any medicine now at all. She's not taking any medicine. When she came back from the hospital, which was about this 10, 11 months, well, she had prescriptions and prescriptions. Then we found that she didn't have to take anything, and she did have some medicine that would quiet her when she got into those moods. But we found that in giving her that medicine, the next day she wouldn't feel well. We felt that it affected her that way, so we just get away with it.
Now, Mrs. He, for your recreation, what would you like to do, you and your husband?
I love music. I love to play the organ. I like to go to concerts, but I don't have any time for outside entertainment anymore because I said babysitter. But I do, I do get out now and then. I enjoy, by the way, a couple of times my brother, he is a member of your Chinese
Historical Society.
He invited me to go, and I went a couple of times.
Do you look at TV sometimes?
Oh, yes, we look at TV. So we do. My family does very much.
That's good. Now, in Chinatown, do you belong to any associations?
I belong to the Chinese, Chinese Women's New Life Movement Club of LA. But I belong to that from way back because my mother and a few other Chinese women started this organization, and that was started during the Second World War. And the purpose of that organization was to help out with the refugees, mm-hmm. soliciting money to send back to help out the refugees.
Now, in Chinese, what would you call that?
Sun Fun or Sun Wan Wei.
Oh, I see.
But now I said it's called Chinese Women's New Life Movement Club of LA. But it is not women's lib. So often people get the idea that it is. No, it's more or less a fellowship.
I see. Do you have to pay dues in that club?
$5
a year. Mm-hmm. What does that club do other than what you just told me that is to mainly to help the refugees from China?
That was before when we used to help the refugees during the wartime. But now it's more or less a fellowship group, and we don't, as I said, the dues are just $5 a year. So we don't have much income, but what income we do have, we help out with service, charity. Well, we do make donations to various groups. That is not a big sum, but whatever we can afford.
Now, in Chinatown, which person or persons would you consider very important in Chinatown?
In the old days?
Yes, in the old days. I know there are more than one. There's more than one. Many.
No, I'm not. I'm going back to the old days because I think we're more interested in the old days than the present. I don't have to because you just said. In the old days, I'll start off with Chen Gaoxing. Chen Gaoxing.
What did he do?
All right. And those things goes way back in before my time. His, by the way, he is the father of Caroline Chen. You know Caroline
Chen? Oh, I see. Yes, I do.
So,
But I didn't know his name. That's why. Yes. Chen Gaoxing. He was interpreter.
He was a court interpreter, but he was, I would say that, as I said, even before my time, because when I was born, mother had rheumatism, and so Mr. and Mrs. Chan took care of me for a couple of months. I stayed with them, and Mrs. Chan turned out to be more like a godmother to me. But Mr. Chan, in the Chinese community, he was quite a leader, and he was a liaison man for the
American public and the Chinese.
He did a lot in civic work, and he was not only known in Los Angeles here, but he was well known up and down the coast, California, as well as across the country. Mm-hmm. For what he was quite a, he did a lot to help the Chinese people when it came to matters such as with immigration, or court matters. Mm-hmm. He was a court interpreter.
Could you think of another person about that time?
All right. This would be a few years later. Another very active leader was Wang Kurong. Wong Kong. He owned the Eastern Grocery, Dongfeng Grocery Company.
He's not there anymore.
He's not there.
Yeah.
Well, Dongfeng, I think they moved up to, they're up there on Broadway.
Why was he so important, do you think?
Well, as I remembered, he was with Zhonghua Weiguan.
I see.
And then he did a lot of charity. Mm-hmm. He was very generous. I can remember my father and mother used to say, well, Mr. Wong always did help out with donations and charity groups. The reason I know that too, because as I said, my father was also connected with Zhonghua Weiguan. And
of course, you shouldn't forget mentioning about your father too, who's one of the important ones also.
Oh, that's not well.
Well, because we could go on and go on, but anyway, how about
Peter Su Hu?
Peter
Su Hu did a lot for the community
and the building of Chinatown.
Building out Chinatown, I think we should credit Y.C. Hong more than anybody else, because he was instrumental in starting Chinatown. Well, there were others who helped him, but Mr. Hong, of course, he owned a lot of the property up there, but he was the one that contacted the different people to get together.
All right, now, then after the Second World War, who were the important ones that you can remember after the Second World War?
Oh, another person would be Wong Cheung.
After the Second World War?
Wong Cheung was really, and then he was up in Chinatown. Up there in Chinatown, he was very influential. Did I mention Thomas Wong?
Yes, you mentioned that. All right, I think maybe we have to let this go and go on to another one, which is now. Now, did you ever feel there was hostility towards the Chinese in Los Angeles, Mrs. He?
To me as an individual, I think I could say no. But I have heard from others that they were discriminated.
Now, did it disappear? Or if it did, when did it disappear?
When there was Old Chinatown, now I'm saying, to me as an individual, no. But I can remember when I used to go down to Chinatown and even walking on, in those days it was Alameda Street. There were businesses on that street. I would see Caucasians coming down there. And quite often I would see some of these elderly Chinese walking around. And I would hear the word chink.
Calling the Chinese chink.
Yes, these older men call them chink.
But do you hear anything like that anymore?
No, not now, but when I was a child, now I'm going back to Old Chinatown because I think it's very important what we know about Old Chinatown because those buildings are not in existence now. And when I went to one of the club dinners, I know pictures of Old Chinatown were flashed on the screen. Mm-hmm. And there were one or two buildings that there was a question about, what was that building? Well, I knew what that building was, but I was a guest at that dinner, so I didn't want to speak up. But I thought to afterwards when I came home, I thought, why didn't I speak up? Because I think it's very important that they should know what that building was.
Yeah, apparently nobody there knew.
No, they weren't sure, they didn't know. Well, anyway, I said I was going back to Old Chinatown. Oh, so we have heard, I'm sure you have, that in Old Chinatown they used to have one or two alleys, they call them Negro Alley.
Yes.
Well, do you know the history about
that? No.
Dad told me.
Say that name again. What kind of alley?
I don't like to use the word, but that was
Negro.
The word
that was Negro alley. Yeah. All right.
Because Hotland, because the idea is not Hotland. It's because it's a sad event, so you think of it not as anything bright, but it's something.
Mm-hmm. Something is black. Mm-hmm.
So,
is that alley a little bit of a street? Or
yes, mm-hmm. there were several. Mm-hmm. One I do know of very clearly because my father had said to me, and not only my father, but a few of the older men who were associated with Gongjia Weiguan. Mm-hmm. You see, our old Suchao, we were in that old block, Los Angeles Street. We were on the upper floor, and later on we moved downstairs to the lower floor when Cubbins moved out. Our back, exit to our back that is going out from our back door, led right into this alley, which was the alley, was partly facing our door, and also the Gongzhou Association led out to this alley.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the old days, there were lynchings there of Chinese.
Oh.
So that's why I...
Why? Why were the Chinese being lynched? Did they do something wrong to the Americans, or did they
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Chinese, there was hatred of the Chinese so many of the Caucasians felt that they were displacing, but when we think back now, they weren't really displacing the Caucasians out of jobs, because what jobs they were doing were restricted to laundry,
mm-hmm.
maybe restaurants, domestic work,
mm-hmm.
the railroads.
Now, about back to this lynching, how often did it occur, approximately? In 5 years' time, how many Chinese were being lynched?
That I don't know, but I heard quite frequently. It would only take one or two persons, non-Chinese persons, who would come down to Chinatown, who would go down to Chinatown. And because they didn't like Chinese,
mm-hmm.
They
would just drag any person that they happened to see on the street to that alley.
They'll start picking on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, now I've heard these stories, they'd leave later on after picking on these Chinese. Then it could be the next day or so. Meantime, they have worked up a group of non-Chinese, a group, to put on more or less a demonstration against the Chinese. So they would return to Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
and they would just, whoever they could get their hands on, just take them.
Your father told you these things, and many of his friends actually saw things happen like that.
They didn't say that they themselves saw it, but they, the group older than them,
mm-hmm.
had told them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they remember it was passed on. But the reason why I feel so close to all this is because I spent a lot of time in that block, the mm-hmm. Methodist Church upstairs mm-hmm. there. The old Suchao was lit out. Gongzhou, I used to walk over there with my father. And I heard about all these things directly from these people who had heard it from somebody else. My father had said, well, now we don't have to go down far. It's right here at our back door. And everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was legendary.
What had happened in the back of your restaurant?
They lynched quite a few Chinese time after time.
Just back of your old restaurant
It was an alley there.
Uh-huh.
It was an alley there.
Well, why did they do that? Just pick on anyone at random?
Or they would frame, I've heard also this, they would frame these Chinese. I mean, they just didn't like Chinese. Mm-hmm. That was
Then what did the Chinese do at that time?
the Chinese couldn't defend themselves because Chinese were not permitted to have any guns. That's one reason why the hatchet. Because the Chinese worked on the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
They had access to
that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, more familiar with them. So they were restricted from having guns. They couldn't defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a whole mob coming down there, I even heard that up there where the Hap Sing Tong Association is, which they were on the right section of the Lugo House. See, the Methodist Church was on the...
How do you spell Lugo? Just
L-U-G-O.
Uh-huh.
Lugo House, that's
what
about
I would
the,
spell it.
It's about the third, if not the second, oldest building in Los
yeah,
Angeles.
Yeah, I think I know exactly where it is, but I just want to know how you spell it.
And where Old Soo Chow was, the Old Soo Chow was around the sixth or seventh oldest building in Los Angeles.
So when did this lynching stuff stop, approximately? What year did it go out of style, shall I say, approximately?
I guess one could say as late as maybe 1918, around there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was born by that time.